We'll try and divide the time, leave time for another brother. I don't know if Murray and I have been reading the same book, but we're certainly on the same channel. So I'm going to restate certain things that our brother has said. Not because he said it, but because I've been thinking about them during the week. I'm going to read first of all in the book of Ruth in chapter 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. You'll allow me reading this verse from the Revised Version, verse 9. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto him. Final reading in Mark's Gospel in chapter 5. Gospel according to Mark, and we're going to read in chapter 5. Verse 19. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. Of course, you all know what I'm going to speak about this afternoon if you paid attention to the reading of God's Word. Did you notice in those three verses that we read this afternoon, there is one word, and it's the word home. First of all, I'll say this, Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the house of praise, it was home for Naomi. Listen today to her words. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. So remember, Bethlehem, Judah was home for Naomi. Listen today to the words of the apostle. We make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto God. And remember, heaven is going to be home for you and I as the people of God. We sometimes sing those words. We'll all gather home in the morning by the banks of the bright jasper sea. So I believe the assembly ought to be a home. I know that heaven is going to be home. But I come now to Mark chapter 5 and I read those words. Go home to thy friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for you. And I'm going to speak today about the Christian home. I fight things in mind to speak about the Christian home, and I might not get through the five things, but I'm going to give you them. Make room for the Word of God in your home. Make room for the man of God in your home. Make room for the Christ of God in your home. Make room for the people of God in your home. And make room for God in your home. And I won't get to number five, but I'm going to say this, and you've heard it 100 times, and you're going to hear it again this afternoon. The family that prays together is the family that stays together. Make room for God in your home. I've come today to tell you this, the devil is busy. What was the first sin that was committed? It was the sin of covetousness. What was the first sin that was committed in Israel? It was the sin of covetousness. What was the first sin that was committed in the early Acts of the Apostles? It was the sin of covetousness. And I didn't say that because Murray said it. I said that today because God spoke to me during the week and God told me those three things. I'm going to quote a man that you've never heard. I don't think anyone. John Douglas by name, a Scotsman that I owe much to. He once said this. Now, if you forget all I say, you take this away today from what I'm going to say. John Douglas said this. If God acted today as he acted in the days of Ananias and Sapphira, there would not be enough people to carry out the dead. I see some brethren smiling. I tell you, to me that's sobering. Do you know there's a verse in the Bible says this? From the greatest of them unto the least, they are given themselves over to covetousness. And from the prophet to the priest, they deal falsely. I was wishing Brother Murray would have quoted it. I'm going to quote it. He quoted one verse I was going to quote. I'll quote it again. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, nor apparel. But you know, Paul said another verse in 1 Thessalonians 2. Listen today to it. Neither at any time used I a cloak of covetousness. And he doesn't say, ye are my witnesses. He says, God is my witness. Why? Covetousness is a sin that's difficult to discern. And it could be in your life this afternoon. And it could be in my life this afternoon. The sin of covetousness. Now the devil's busy.
And you young Christians get this today. The devil always presents his bait before he presents his bite. You just think of the sin of Eve. Get the picture. First of all, she heard. And then she saw. And then she took. And then she gave. And that's how the devil still works today. I heard a man speak once, and I'll say this about the man. I wouldn't say it about every preacher. I certainly wouldn't say it about myself, but I'm going to say it about him, and I'm saying this. He was a good man. He was a gifted man. He was a godly man. And remember, every gifted man should be a good man, and every good man and gifted man should be a godly man. I could prove that today from the Bible. I won't. But he spoke one day on Ephesians chapter 6. And he quoted that verse that we all know. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he said this, he quoted the first part of the verse. And I could hear him as if it was yesterday. Listen to what he says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then Willie Drew stopped for a moment. Listen to what he said. Because of the low moral spiritual state amongst us, we wrestle against flesh and blood. You remember what Paul says about the devil? Listen today to it. We are not ignorant of his devices. What is Paul saying? We are not ignorant of his designs. We are not ignorant of his subtleness. We are not ignorant of his schemes, of his plans. I'm wondering today, dear child of God, because of the low moral, spiritual condition amongst us, are we really ignorant of the design and the devices and the subtleness of Satan? Remember, the devil is busy. Most of us were raised in a Christian home. And I thank God today, I'm getting nowhere, but I'll be down at 22. I thank God today I was raised in a Christian home. I'm going to say this, you might not believe it, but it's true. I remember there was a time when my father would not allow a radio in the home. Not a television. Not a computer with a network, the filth that's on it. He would allow a radio in the home. How did his family turn out? I've one brother. I've two sisters. And they're all saved and linked with the people of God. And I'll say this today from this platform. I don't know where my brother would have been today if my father would have allowed him to bring a radio into the home. There were four things in our home. We were all minors. My father was a minor. My brother was a minor. And I was a minor. And we had a fireplace and we burned coal because we were Scotchmen and we got free coal, so we burned coal. But you know, there was four things in that home. There was the fireplace, there was the mantelpiece. And you know, above the mantelpiece, there was a picture of the tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? The tabernacle is the place where God dwells. And remember, God dwelt in the tabernacle. Remember, God dwelt in the temple. And remember, God dwells in the assembly. There was a picture of the tabernacle. Albert Ramsey says, these typings, I never agreed with them anyway. But then, there was a second thing. You know, there was the gospel ship. I suppose you've seen that ship with all the sails. And all the gospel verses in it. There was the tabernacle. There was the gospel ship. And then there was a frame with two verses on it. And I'll quote the two verses to you. The first verse was this. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. That's James 2 and 38. She spake of him to all. Luke 4 and 32. So there was the tabernacle. There was the gospel ship. There was those two lovely verses. And then there was a plaque. And on the plaque was something like this. Listen to it. Home blessings. Listen to the home blessings before I sit down. The crown of the home is godliness. The beauty of the home is order. The glory of the home is hospitality. The blessing of the home is contentment. And before I sit down, I want to challenge this audience, and I want to ask you one question. Is there godliness? Is there order? Is there hospitality? Is there contentment in your home? In my home.
Arnold Adams, who often came to this conference. I'm going to quote Arnold Adams before I sit down. He once said this, perhaps at this conference, he said this. Our homes don't take character from the assembly. The assembly takes character from our homes. And if you and I had better homes, you and I would have better assemblies.